Chapter 5, verses 12 through 14. John 5, verses 12 through 14. Then asked they him, What man is that which said unto thee, Take up thy bed and walk? And he that was healed wist not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple, and said unto him, Behold, thou art made whole, sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. Behold, thou art made whole, sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. Tonight I want to just begin a series of messages, a couple, maybe two, maybe three, I don't know. I got about 12 points, so it may be two or three. But the title of this subject is Making Sense Out of Sickness. Making Sense Out of Sickness. Now, sickness is something that all of us experience. And I want to try to help make sense out of it. The Bible's full of information about sickness. The Bible's amazing. You take the subject in the Bible, it'll just it'll give you all you need to live on. I remember when Brother Bell was here, and he had all those problems in his life sleeping, and he got into the Bible, and he says he was amazed at how much the Bible says about sleep. And you name the subject. It has to deal with life and faith and practice, and it's covered in the Bible, and it'll tell you something about it. I certainly am not a poster child for health. Never have been. First 2 years of the ministry, I had a viral infection I couldn't get rid of. And I tried everything I could to get rid of that viral infection. I prayed, I fasted, I changed my diet, I went to a chiropractor, I went to different doctors, they put me on every antibiotic they could. Got down to about 139 pounds, and I can remember one Sunday evening, I was able to go to church, I didn't miss church services, but one Sunday evening, I can remember we were in the old storefront building on Main Street in Angola. The building burned down since. But I can remember they put me in the chair after the service, and I was just getting all thin and emaciated, and they circled around me. Those that were in the church at the time, many of them were crying. They thought I was dying. And I didn't know what was going on, and I just prayed, and they prayed over me. And the next day, things got worse, and I spent a couple of days in bed, and I couldn't even move. I didn't know what to do. And that, as I was laying on bed, on the bed there crying and saying, Dear God, you called me, I know you did, to start this church, and now here I am the first couple of years, I've been so sick, and Lord, it just seems to me if I was healthier, I could do this, and I could do that, and I could do this, and I could do that, and I could go out visiting and win souls to Christ, and so on and so forth, and I heard a voice remind me from the scriptures, a voice in my heart. And it was the scripture where Jesus said, I will build my church. And I realized through that sickness that God was teaching me a lesson that He didn't need me. He could do fine without me. He wanted me, but He didn't need me. He said, I'll build my church. And I learned something through sickness then. And somehow through that, as sick as I was, I never missed church. Never missed a Sunday morning or Sunday evening or Wednesday night. As sick as I was, I just kept plugging along. I've learned how to work on through sickness. But he taught me a spiritual lesson through that sickness that I probably would not have learned. And when I resolved, by the way, it was amazing. When I resolved my heart in that matter where I realized, all right, I, Art Cole, am not going to build this church. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. And when I finally humbled myself and said, You're right, Lord. It's not me and all the things I can do, it's You. And I'm glad you taught that to me early in the ministry. But that experience made me realize, you know, there's lessons that I can learn about sickness. And I began to study it back then and trying to make sense out of sickness. And that led to a kind of a lifelong little study on the side about things and coping with sickness and things, weakness and what to do. And I've had these things buried inside of me for a long time. And God taught me some things through sickness and how to make sense out of sickness and deal with it and live with it and live above it. And I just thought months ago, I just thought, you know, I ought to present these things to the church. And because maybe some folks in our church never thought about these things, and it may be in its knowledge there will come some deliverance for some people. And these matters, I just thought, you know, I've never really dealt with the subject. And so months and months ago, I did a study called Making Sense Out of Sickness. And at the time, there were so many people sick in the church, I said, I can't preach it now because they'll think I'm preaching to them. And so I said, I'll wait a little bit. And I waited a little while, and I said, I can't preach this now because there's a bunch of people sick in the church, and they're going to think I'm preaching right to them. And I waited a little while, and there were so many people sick. And finally, I just got to the point, I said, well, look, there's always going to be people sick. And there's always going to be people struggling. And so I'm just going to present this and hope people will take it well. And because in many ways, these principles have helped me to live above sickness or to live with sickness. And as a result, I showed you some numbers this morning that certainly don't make me an expert. But I want to give thanks to the Lord because of the Bible. And I took 24 years, which our church is not quite 24 years, but I multiplied that by the services that we conduct on a normal basis. That would be Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. Three services a week times 52 is 156. And if you multiply that by 24, you come up with this number here of about, soon we're coming up on about 3,744 services that this church has conducted, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday nights. Now, I don't know how accurate this number is, but through all the things that I've been through, as far as I know, I've only missed six of those services. I don't know, it might be nine. I'm not sure if I'm accurate here. I don't have any idea. I do remember about three times where my back spasms were so bad that I couldn't even get out of bed. I could barely breathe, let alone walk. And if you've never had them, I thank God for it. But even that was something where the Lord taught me or has been teaching me how to live with my own back. Now I incorporate certain principles in my own life so that I don't hurt my back anymore. And the other three were usually because of something like the flu. Now, there's been a few Sundays where I've been out of town or on vacation, but then there's been other days that I didn't count where we had Southern Camp meetings in the north or revival meetings or week-long missions conferences or daily vacation Bible schools. We used to have those every year. We're going to have one again this summer. And as far as I know, I never missed one of those. Now, folks, that's quite a record. When you think about it, that's quite a record. I'm not talking about myself. I'm talking about the things that God has taught me to help me to live with that. One of the things that I'll get to some point, I don't know which one it is, seven or eight, is I don't want to miss church because I don't want to miss what God's going to do. We heard a testimony earlier, a testimony meeting from Sister Louise where she woke up and she didn't feel good this morning. And she felt sick and she told herself, I really should stay home. But she came to church. And before she left, she was able to lead a lady to Christ. You see, and that's one of my 12 points I'll eventually get to, is I don't want to miss what God might want to do. You never know. When some soul will be saved, or some person will be called, or somebody will be healed, or find the answer they need, or you'll be able to cross paths with somebody by divine appointment that your counsel can help. I want to be there. I want to be there to see everything. I don't want to miss anything. And that's one of the things that makes me come to church no matter what I'm feeling like. If I got a headache, I'm going to church. If my nose is running, I'm going to church. If I have a sore throat, I'm going to church. If I have a sore back, I'm going to church. Because I want to see what God's going to do. I was challenged back in the early 1980s. There was this fellow that was a member out at the First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana, and I'd gone out there to pastor school, and he had cancer, and every service, people would carry him in on a bed, and they'd plop him down in the hallway underneath one of the speakers they had in the hallway, and as he was dying of cancer, he lay on the bed there to listen to the Word of God. And in so doing, he didn't know it till the pastor mentioned it, I think, after he died, but he had encouraged just thousands of people to go to church. As they looked at him and said, if he can go, I can go. I remember being out there and hearing Dan Parr preach, hooked up to his oxygen tank. As he was dying of cancer, and they'd have to help him to the pulpit, and he'd have his oxygen tank there and his tubes going around and up into his nose, and he'd be hunched over the pulpit like this, preaching the Word of God. I got two of his sermons down in my office. I still listen to him. Dan Parr, he's in heaven. He died shortly thereafter. And I said, man, if he can go to church, I can go to church. You think God used him that night? When he preached the word in that condition, you better believe it. You better believe it. And he continued on for some time in that condition, never allowing that to stop him from the ministry that he did. And I want to encourage you by these I guess we'll call them principles or something, that This might help you. I mentioned this morning in the announcements. I want to be productive. I want to be productive, and I want to love God. I think probably the greatest verse that caused me to begin to investigate sickness in the Word of God was the great commandment of Mark chapter 12 and verse 30, where it says, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And one day I got to the last word, and it really affected me. It says, and with all your strength. With all your strength. And that's not something that I've had a lot of in my life. I've always had a low amount of energy. You can call my dad up, and he'll tell you that for some reason, growing up, I was a sickly boy, and little baby, and I'd sleep sometimes 13, 14, 15 hours in a row. They'd wake me up sometimes to see if I was all right. There was times where they literally had to send out search parties into the woods to find me, because I'd take a stroll in the woods and I'd just lean against a tree, shut my eyes, and pass out for hours. There were literally times when they had to send out search parties. They didn't know what happened to me. I just, bang, fell asleep. What's that name for that word there? Huh? Narcoplexy or something? Whatever it was, I had it. And it's been that way. I've had to be a plotter for God. I can't be a hare, but a tortoise. I just plod along for God. Got to have 8, 9 hours of sleep every day. Got to take a nap every afternoon of my life. I have to. Nobody's ever accused me of being lazy or lacking discipline or character. I have those things. It's just that I've had low energy. So I've had to look at these things, and it's given me opportunity to minister. I've ministered to Pastor John Jenkins' son. He has the same condition. And others, where you just have to pace yourself and plod along for God. But that verse said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your strength. And I decided that I was going to do everything I could do humanly, possibly, to find more strength. And as I have studied it out, I've been able to find more strength. Because I want to live a productive life. Ephesians 2 and verse 10 says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. He saved us by his grace and ordained us to bring forth fruit. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. He wants us to work. He wants us to labor. With this glorious promise tacked on to the end, he said in Revelation 22:12, "Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give unto every man according as his work shall be." And so I want to be productive. I don't want to get by with the minimum. I don't want to do the bare minimum of what God asks me. And I don't have a boss, except the Lord. Nobody tells me I have to be to work at this time, I have to leave at this time, I have to get up at this time, and so on and so forth. I have had to find that ability from within, my inspiration being from the Lord. And you can ask anybody that works here at the church, not only the church services, but it's extremely rare that I ever miss a day of work, ever. If I'm not here, it's because I'm out visiting or doing something else like that. And almost every evening of every week, it seems like there's something going on that I have to do. And I'm saying this for the glory of God because he's shown me some things. That I decided I was not going to spend the rest of my life in that quality of a life. If there's ways that I, truths that I could learn to improve that, I want to learn those truths. And I want to give you about 12 of them over the next couple of weeks or something. And I want to show you the first one. But before I do, I want to remind you that our theme this year is humility. Because those without it are not going to be able to accept this first point. But I want to start where the Bible starts on this matter. And I, when it comes to making sense of sickness and overcoming sickness, number one, stop sinning. Stop sinning. Behold, thou art made whole, verse 14, sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. Now, none of these points that I have tonight are etched in concrete. There's always an exception. I don't think little Matthew's in his wheelchair because he sinned. We're told in John 9, they said, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he's born blind? And the Lord said, neither he nor his parents. But that the glory of God should be shown through. But I want you to see clearly in this verse, verse 14, I'm just telling you things that I studied that I had to humbly receive myself from God. Some sickness is because of sin in our lives. And if we can sin no more, as Jesus, I want you to notice the warning Jesus gave to this man here at the pool of Bethesda who had been impotent for 38 years. I believe in this case, his 38 years of infirmity was because of sin in his life. Can you imagine that? It's possible for somebody to have a physical infirmity in their body for 38 years because of sin in their life. And maybe if somebody had told him earlier, stop sinning, he may have been delivered from the infirmity. To understand point number one, and I know proud people will never accept it because they can't think that God could, you know who I am? Are you suggesting God would possibly be allowing this sickness in my life, this infirmity, because I've sinned? Do you know who I am? Proud people rarely improve. But humble people start there. Humble people start with sin and say, Lord, is there something in my life right now that I am being chastened for? Would you please show it to me clearly? That's where humble people start. Proud people sometimes go on for years and years and years and years with some sickness or some weakness, and they never deal with it because they can't possibly conceive that their sickness or weakness is because of some sin in their life. I'd rather be humble and start there. And say, search me, O God, and know my heart today. See if there be some wicked way in me. Sin no more. You know, seven times in the Bible it says, sin not. We won't go through them all. But for instance, in 1 Corinthians 15:34, it says, awake to righteousness and sin not. Sin not. For some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Ephesians 4:26 says, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. 1 John 2 and verse 1 says, these things have I written unto you, that ye sin not. See, we don't take that serious enough. We sometimes pride ourselves in our imperfections. Well, I'm not perfect. You know, Christians aren't perfect. We're just forgiven. That's true. That's true, but we're supposed to be heading for a life of no more sin. Now, I know we're deceived. It says in 1 John 1, verses 8 through 10, we're deceived if we say we are without sin. We make him a liar, it says, if we say we're out without sin. But if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There are three origins of sickness. One is sin. One is Satan. And one is God. We know from the fall that the earth was cursed and man had a death sentence pronounced upon him. We know that people die, and even today, everybody eventually dies, and sometimes they say of natural causes. No, there's no such thing as dying of natural causes. You die of some disease. Everybody dies of some disease. That's the curse of sin on the earth. Sin produces sickness. Sin produces sickness and death. Satan can afflict people with sickness, as we see in the most famous case, the book of Job, in chapters one and chapter two, rather, where he smote Job with sore boils from the crown of his head to the bottom of his feet. Satan did that. We're told over in Luke chapter 13 and verse number 12. It says, and when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said, her to him and said unto her, woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. He laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day. And said unto the people, there are 6 days in which men ought to work. In them therefore come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. Then the Lord answered him and said, thou hypocrite, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? I'm saying to you that Satan can inflict people with infirmities and diseases. And then sometimes it comes from God. I'd like you to turn to Exodus 15, if you will. Exodus chapter number 15. In verse number 26, the scripture says, and he said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in the sight of the Lord, and will give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians. For I am the Lord that healeth thee. Jehovah Rapha is the Hebrew name there, the Lord that healeth thee. But notice And circle the word I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians. I want you to notice there that God can inflict diseases upon disobedient people. The subject of verse 26 is obedience. If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and wilt give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I'll keep you healthy. Now again, these are generalities. There's always an exception, but don't focus on the exception. Focus on the rule. Obedience can keep you healthy. Turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 7. Deuteronomy chapter number 7. I want to encourage you to live with yourself. Live with yourself. Study yourself. Study the physical realm, not just the spiritual realm. A lot of times the spiritual realm affects the physical, as we just saw. But live with yourself. You're a triumvirate. You're an association of three persons. Focus on your body. Focus on your spirit. Focus on your soul. Know how to live with yourself. That's what I did. I got sick of being sick all the time. And I have learned some principles that have helped me to be healthier and to have a track record that is amazing when you look at the numbers of the services that I've ever missed or the work days that I've ever missed. Not being the healthiest man that ever lived the earth. But I have found ways to strengthen myself. Because I want God to do something with my life. Deuteronomy 7, verse 15. And the Lord will take away from thee all sickness. And will put none of the evil diseases of Egypt, which thou knowest, upon thee, but will lay them upon all them that hate thee. Notice what God can do here. The Lord will take away from thee all sickness. Write down in your Bible next to that verse, if you want, Psalm 103 and verse 3 says he heals us of all our diseases. Sometimes we're afraid to believe this as Baptists. You know that? We're afraid to claim these things. We're afraid to claim these and go to God in prayer and say, Lord, you know I've been obedient. Lord, you know as much as I have, I've studied your word. I've tried to keep what you showed me to do. I pray that you would heal me and believe. Now, I'll be honest with you. The track record that I have for not missing church services, which is amazing, all glory to God, and you can see the same thing in Pastor Seth. I'm not going to fool you. I have more people praying for me than any of you do. I know that because I'm the pastor, and I know I have more people praying for me, praying for my health probably than anyone else does. But God answers prayer. James said, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. And if we ask anything according to his will, we know that he heareth us. And we know that we have the petitions we've desired him. And 1 John chapter 3 and verse 22 says, whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. If you are living a life of obedience, I'm not saying you're perfect, and I'm not saying I'm perfect, but God sees us, and we're trying. And we're living a life of obedience, and whatsoever we ask, we can receive of him. And I can't tell you how many times church day came around, and I was sick in the morning. And perhaps your average person would have stayed home. But I said, Lord, you got to heal my stomach. Lord, you got to heal my head. You got to heal my throat. I got to go, Lord. Got to go. And I can't tell you how many times, hundreds of times, I think probably thousands of times God's healed me of things that might keep the average person who doesn't think about it away from church and away from work. And the Lord will take away from thee all sickness. Look over at Deuteronomy 28 and verse number 60. Deuteronomy 28 and verse number 60. Moreover, he will bring upon thee all the diseases of Egypt which thou wast afraid of, and they shall cleave unto thee. This is regarding those then that become disobedient. Now, so we've seen both sides of the stories. They'll cleave to you, these diseases. That means you won't be able to get rid of them. And so, so much rests upon obedience. So much rests upon us if we stop sinning. You can flirt with sin if you want to. But I'm going to try to get away from it. Turn over to 1 Corinthians and chapter 11. We know these verses because we read them every month around here. But it says in verse number 30, 1 Corinthians 11, "For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep." I want you to notice the word many. I believe the Bible is verbally inspired of God, every word of it. And he was saying to this church, and this was not a good church, this was a carnal church. And because it was a carnal church and they were tolerating things like fornication and other things in this church, if you had been in the church of Corinth, you would have seen a lot of sick members, a lot of weak members, and a lot of members who had slept, that has died prematurely. It's all because of one thing. It says in verse 31, "For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world." We see clearly from this text that one of the tools of God's chastening upon His children is sickness, weakness, and sometimes premature death. Solomon talked about those who were overmuch wicked, and he warned them and said, "Why shouldest thou die before thy time?" See, it is appointed on the man once to die. God's got it marked on the calendar already when I'm going to die. And I don't know what's going to happen. I may get cancer this week and be dead in 3 weeks. I don't know. You don't know. But I will say this up until this point. I've been amazed at what God has enabled me to do by these principles. I'm amazed that Pastor Seth I don't know if he's ever been sick or missed church, I think a couple times. But he's always at work. It's just amazing. And I think it's because a lot of people pray for him too, and I'm not ignorant about that. You keep it up. But I'm not going to let a little sickness stop me. I'm just not going to do it. And I believe that if we can stop sinning, as it says right here, if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. That means if we would judge ourselves, verse 31, then we will be spared from God's tool of chastisement of weakness and sickness and premature death. Now, He may someday use that tool of weakness and sickness as a trial of our faith, but that's a different subject another time. But I want to ask you tonight, is there some sin in your life that you have not dealt with? Is there some pride in your heart? Is there something in your mind? In your heart, is there some bitterness, some anger, some unforgiveness, a grudge or something you're holding on to? I don't know. But those of you that are perpetually sick and those of you who are perpetually weak, I'm trying in love tonight to ask you to humbly consider point number one. And that is to stop sinning. See, God can use our infirmity. In fact, that's one of the reasons He allows this. 1 Peter 4:1, part of the verse says, "He that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin." In the Old Testament, there's a verse that says, "Thy transgressions have corrected thee." He uses these things to correct us, to get our attention. And, And back at the beginning of our ministry, those first 2 years, he used sickness to knock the self-confidence out of me. And he did a good job at it. Now, this ought to be our first thought. This ought to be our first thought if we're battling with weakness or sickness. It ought to be the first thing that comes to our mind, is there some sin in my life? Not the last thing. First thing. That's how I'd rather approach life. I don't know about you, but I'm too often guilty. And I just find in my relationship to God, it's a lot better if I just presume guilt. Say, Lord, I know I've sinned. Forgive me. I don't believe we should be conformed to this world. And so I am not going to go through life saying things like this. Well, it's the flu season. Let the world have the flu season. Well, it's going around. Well, everybody's getting it. I'm just not going to go through life being conformed to this world. I'm just not going to do it. I'm going to believe that the child of God can stake out his claim to live above the world, to not be like the world, and if there's anybody that ought to be role models of health, it ought to be the church of the living God. But we're often just as sick as the world. The only difference is we pray over our food. I want to encourage you to seize these promises tonight, to embrace them. In most cases, I believe that if we'll stop sinning, we'll stop the sickness. Let's just take an example from the physical realm, and I'll close with this. Because there's a deeper spiritual application, this might not be the best illustration, but let's say there's two guys that smoke 4 packs of cigarettes a day. I've met people like that. How much you smoke? 4 packs a day. Wow. And they get saved. This one continues his practice. This one says, I got to get over this here. God help me. And he cuts down, he cuts down, he cuts down, he cuts down. Maybe gets to 1 or 2 cigarettes a day. But the law of averages, not the exception, but the law of averages, which one of the guys is going to be healthier in the future? The guy who gets down to 1 or 2 cigarettes a day, and I know this isn't maybe a good comparison or anything, but you know, the Christian who maybe gets down to 1 or 2 sins a day is probably going to be healthier than the person who just keeps on living in sin. Are you healthy tonight? Now maybe it's a test. Maybe it's a trial. But if we're humble, I like to start with saying, maybe it's a sin God's trying to get my attention. Examine myself. And if I can confess it, the Bible promises I can avoid his chastening hand in the area of sickness, weakness, premature death. The second point is praying. I've already talked about that. If you want to write it down, and I'm going to close here, but I know that you pray for me, and I sense prayer. But I can't tell you how many times I've prayed a prayer like this. I almost have it memorized, and I have to be careful that I don't just spit out memorized prayers. But so many times I'll get on my knees and say, "Oh God, I pray you protect me from flus and colds and germs and viruses and bacteria and infections and fevers and diseases." And I will pray that all the time in my life. I'm serious. I'm telling you some secrets I've learned. I pray that all the time. Oh God, protect me from viruses and germs and bacteria and infections and diseases and accidents. And help me as I drive, and please keep me away from colds and flus and so on and so forth. We can't see those things. You can get 1 million AIDS viruses on the head of a pin. We better trust in the Lord. I pray. You pray for me, and I pray for myself. I pray that for my wife. I pray that for my kids. My wife's probably missed less services all these years than I have. She's been so healthy. She's probably missed more because whenever one of the kids was sick, I left her home. I don't believe in keeping a whole family home because one person's sick. Leave somebody home, watch them maybe if you need. Pray for protection from Satan. Satan complained about Job. Remember that? He complained. He said, you know why Job's healthy and prosperous? Because you put a hedge of protection around him. You built a wall around him, God. Take that down and he'll curse you. Now, if God can do that for Job, I want him to do that for me. Put a hedge of protection around me. Sickness came from sin originally, the fall. It comes from Satan. It comes from God. If I can stop sinning, if I can bind Satan, if I can be right with God, I'll have a better chance of being healthy and stronger. And you will too. I've only shared a few tonight, just prayer, trying to stop sinning, or what we call sanctify ourselves. And these are things that I'll share some more next week. And I'll go a lot faster through the rest. But let's pray. Our Father, thank you for tonight. Lord, I just pray that we might find humility this year. Humility to truly receive the word. We've seen in your word that sickness came because of the fall of man into sin. Sin brought sickness. And Satan inflicts people with infirmities. And, Lord, sometimes you put sickness or disease upon a person as a judgment because of their disobedience to the plain command of the Word of God. So, Lord, tonight, if we can be obedient, if we can stop sinning, if we can bind Satan and pray a wall of protection around us, we'll have better days. Help us. You said, is any afflicted among you, let him pray. Lord, I pray that people would start praying specific prayers that you would protect them from germs and flus and diseases and infections and viruses and all these things floating around. Airborne things, things from touch. Lord, I pray we wouldn't feel that we have to be conformed to this world. If anybody ought to be the role model, there ought to be believers. So we can be more productive in our work, especially for you. So we can go out on Saturdays and not have to miss and come to church and see what God's going to do and be a part. And Lord, I pray for a healthier church and healthier people. Just bless our little bit of prayer time now about this matter. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We're going to take our psalm books and just stand and close, turning to page 543. 543, let's